Welcome. New Waves of Light presents Soul Awakening and the New Earth Podcast, where we discuss the nature of the soul and the evolutionary shift taking place inside human consciousness, the catalyst for the planetary shift that is birthing a new Earth. I am your host, Sarah Catherine. Last week, we explored how to make contact with the soul, what it feels like to live as a soul in daily life, and how that differs from living life solely from the perspective of the personality. In today's podcast, we'll be focusing our discussion on what a soul awakening is and how such an awakening affects our own and other lives. Welcome, Anne. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Sarah. It's a pleasure.
So, Anne, from your perspective, what is a soul awakening?
When the soul awakens, life begins to change dramatically. Because until the soul awakens, we tend to live in our own small cocoon of personal life, and we're only concerned with what happens to ourselves, our immediate family, our possessions, our homes, and all those kinds of things. But when the soul awakens, we feel concerned for the greater life of which we are a part. And usually, this happens through pain. Soul awakening happens through pain. Because if we're living a happy life and everything is going well and smoothly and success at every hand, we don't question life. We just keep going. We don't question our values or anything else. But it's usually when a painful event occurs in our lives, whatever it may be, that we take a step back. We begin to look for deeper reasons, deeper causes. We begin to ask for help from higher sources, and we begin to tune in to a different level of reality, which has much more to do with the way the universe works than the way our own little world works. So in a sense, it's through heartbreak of some kind that the heart opens, literally. Yeah.
So this has been brought up in previous podcasts. I think you're absolutely correct. It feels like pain is often the catalyst. It's a catalyst for someone to really come into maybe a humbling place and ask the deep questions, the big questions, and then the soul answers. Is that what occurs?
Well, in some way, the soul answers. Yes. And then if we're really tuned in to higher sources, we will begin to receive some guidance that will come through the soul. So it's all one, really. But yes, we begin to think about things like, why is this happening? Mm-hmm. Why is this happening to me? Mm-hmm. Some people ask, what have I done to deserve this unhappiness, whatever it is, a loss of a loved one, or a serious illness, or bankruptcy, whatever form it takes. Why is this happening to me? And when we go there, we open ourselves, and there's a sense of desperation. Mm-hmm. We open ourselves to all kinds of things, voices and sources that we were close to before. When you might say the soul was asleep, the soul, there's a lot that could be said about awakening and so many different dimensions. But yes, it's usually a personal bereavement of some kind that causes us to wake up and question why things are the way they are. Mm-hmm. And then we often we'll be guided in some way. We may hear an inner voice. We may see a sign that will guide us. We may be taken to, be led to go to a meeting of some kind that will begin to give us a new outlook on life.
A new perspective, almost the moment where an amazing grace enters into the picture.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And there's that song that, you know, in order for the light to come in, there has to be a broken place.
Yeah.
And that's so true. There has to be a brokenness for something new to enter in. And that what that new thing is, that new element is the light of the soul.
Beautiful. So what does an awakened soul look like? So post awakening, what does that path and journey look like for that person?
Well, I think initially, at the beginning, that person becomes a seeker, a seeker of higher truth, of higher reality, longing to know why we're here. I think if the pain is great enough, those bigger questions start to be asked. What am I doing here? What's the purpose of my life? Why am I alive? Why was I born? And those questions are the questions of a seeker. And so the life begins to veer in the direction of looking for truth wherever one can find it. So that's one way. But and that's for a newly awakened person. But as the process goes on, and one's search leads to some body of knowledge that provides the insight that the person was looking for and that satisfies the soul, then there's a shift in the life. So because what awakening means and what it leads to is connectedness with the larger reality in which we live. We realize the soul is part spirit, is by its nature spirit. Spirit has no divisions. You know, in spirit, all is one. So when we contact the spirit within, external barriers begin to fall away. We begin to see the world as one, and we become aware of our connectedness to that greater whole. And so in some way, we want to serve. We recognize suffering around us and of humans, of other species, and the collapse of old institutions, especially now. And we're moved to serve. There's an expression, wonderful, simple expression that sums it up. The urge of the soul is to serve. So when you become identified with the soul, you look for places where you, as an individuality, can make a difference, can serve the world, to create a better world, to make it a better place for all lives that exist on this planet. So eventually, after the stage of seeking and finding, finding higher truth, let's say, that makes sense of life to us, then we begin to look for ways that we can serve the whole. And so the life changes and values change. We're no longer interested in amassing wealth, living in fancy houses, owning an expensive car. We would rather give money away, give possessions away to fill a need. So everything in the life begins to change, and there's a total transformation.
Yes, I hear what you're saying, and I think that is a unity consciousness must be a soul quality. And we've talked about qualities in other podcasts, and one of them, intuition, came up, which I think you've touched on, you know, asking the question and then intuiting those answers and maybe being guided intuitively to those answers by various bodies of wisdom and truth, but also that it leads to unity consciousness, which is a perspective shift that's fundamentally different from the personality perspective. And how a soul, awakened soul, would want to live is in a world that works for everyone, just naturally, because we're connected to everyone and life itself, as you mentioned, with spirit. You know, our soul connection is to life itself, really. And I think that's you've beautifully identified that. So does an awakened soul, a soul that's awakened, affect others? And if so, how does that happen?
Oh, yes, very much so. Because, to the degree that that soul embodies the consciousness, there has to be an effect on others because the life is transformed. And so, as I mentioned, values change totally and the heart opens. And the heart opens in recognition of the oneness and this inner desire to make things better for other people in some way. And so there's compassion, there's love, there's the desire to create a sense of unity and community. And so where there's an awakened soul, yes, there's definitely a difference being made through that person's life. We can think of some of the great servers in history, like Mother Teresa always comes up as the exemplar of what it is to live an awakened life. Her whole life was devoted to service. That was all there was for her. There was nothing else. And ultimately, I think what we know about the path of spiritual evolution, everyone who's on that path will reach a stage where there's nothing but service, because of the intense awareness of oneness, of interconnectedness, interrelatedness, and an intense desire to improve conditions, as I mentioned. So, yes, I think an awakened soul does affect lives around him or her in many ways, just by being an example of living life differently, of living life for the greater good.
Yeah, it might give others pause to see the perspective shift in that person, like, oh, that's not a self-oriented perspective. Just to hear an awakened soul's perspective would have, I think, an influence on someone. And so I'm hearing a lot about a shift, and I get very excited when I think about this shift because I've thought a lot about the 100th monkey effect and how if we are all connected, how if we reach a certain number of awakened souls on the planet, that it would have an effect on all souls on the planet and effectively create a global awakening. And so when I hear about the shift, I get very excited and I'm just wondering, what do you think this is happening? Are we in adventuring into a shift right now?
Yeah, I think we are in one, very much so. I think since the 1980s, there's been a growing, a collective of people following this, a new wave of energy, excuse me, leading to the shift. There's so much that could be said about that, including the fact of the positive aspect of the pandemic. Several aspects, actually. But first of all, it has made everyone on the planet aware of our interconnectedness on a very deep level. And that, the good of some doesn't compensate for the misfortune of all, and that we have to create a new value system. So that's a major thing that's happening now in many minds. And also, the fact that the pause, as some people have called it, presented an opportunity for millions of people to rethink their values and to realize that the lives they were leading were not soul satisfying. The life of competition and fierce competition and conflict and disharmony because of egos, sparring with one another, that life of the corporate world, basically the unenlightened corporate world, became very unsatisfying for a lot of people. So many factors have come together to awaken a huge number of people to the possibility for a better life. But we know from the ageless wisdom that since the middle of last century, but especially in the latter decades, a huge wave of energy has been coming into the planet that has been awakening people to higher realities, to the greater potential of humanity to express what used to be, well, what's called by Abraham Lincoln, sorry, by Abraham Lincoln, the better angels of our nature. And that's really the soul. So people have broken away from the mainstream and developed life-sustaining projects, little businesses that they can do independently. And so many thousands and thousands of small NGOs have formed to fight for various causes for people in all kinds of conditions around the world who need help. And so there's this massive turning away from the old values and towards something newer and better. And also, yes, and I do think it's spreading and the shift is happening and cosmic energies are pouring in. We're moving into a new age, the real new age.
I love this. I love that you mentioned the pandemic because I've been observing that too. Well, in the beginning, you mentioned soul awakening happening through pain and it being the catalyst. And I think when I think about the pandemic, I think about, yes, how much pain and suffering has been created for people, but how that has been a catalyst. Like you said,
Yes.
a pause to step back and ask those deeper, bigger questions. And so I think people are now. We have a lot more people on the seeking path, you know. So there is
Yes.
an awakening has happened, and now the seeking is going out. And as those truths start to coalesce, we start experiencing that shift. And I love
Yes.
that you brought up NGOs because you're right. I've noticed a huge wave of humanitarian thought, you know, and that is, I think, a very indicative of soul thinking, you know, to think
Yes,
of
it
the
is.
whole. Yeah, that's fantastic. So, what are we moving into? If there's this new shift happening and it's from a soul perspective, what would you envision that looking like? I mean, it's a new earth, truly.
Yes. That's a big question, Sarah. Yes, well, we could extrapolate from what we've just been talking about what that might be. Imagine a world where people thrive on recognition of who they are on the deepest level, not what they look like, not how they appear, not what race or gender or any of that they are, but who they are in the depths of their soul, who they truly are. And imagine a world where that soul quality is supported and loved into expression. And where people find their place within a larger context and feel valued for who they really are and what they really have to bring to life. Just imagine that. Imagine tr the trust that grows from feeling supported and loved. We have a world in decay, in part because of the extreme level of distrust. There's nobody trusts even what they hear. People don't trust facts. Imagine a world where people trust one another inherently because they know who they are as souls. And this brings in the subject of reincarnation. It's hard to think about the soul apart from the law of cause and effect, which is reincarnation and karma. When you awaken as a soul, you begin to realize that this isn't your first lifetime. It isn't your first time around the block. You realize that you have an inner sense of knowing that comes from somewhere. And that comes from previous lifetimes. And you also realize that every act that you commit in this life has a consequence because you come face to face with the law of karma. Nothing happens by accident. And so we begin to realize that things that happen to us in this life have a history, an antecedent. There's something, the roots of it are in the past. And it's happening in this life so we can learn something. Learn how to be more of the higher self, the true self. And so when you find yourself in a group of people who basically are expressing the soul, who are conscious enough to be able to express soul qualities, you know you're in a group of people who are aware of the law of cause and effect. They are learning to become harmless. They're learning to become honest in every conceivable way. And so the fear of what another individual may do to you, that is at the bottom of all destructive behavior, that fear dissolves. And you find yourself in a community of people who are free to express their highest nature, are free to express love, are free to give support to one another, to work together toward a higher purpose, and find joy in that.
I completely agree. And I think it's, you know, to me, when I'm listening to you talk, I think, man, it sounds so idealistic compared to what we've experienced, almost pie in the sky. Like, how do you get from where we are or where we've been to this? But because of a collective soul awakening, and because of the fact of our unified unity consciousness in that awakening process, it makes it possible in my mind. I can see that it would shift all of our choices if we were to really make that kind of collective shift into a soul conscious life. And so I'm so happy to hear what you're sharing, and it doesn't sound just idealistic anymore to me. I see there's a path, there's an actual path. What can you say about that path, or your thoughts on that path?
Yes, there is a path, the spiritual path, and it's basically the same path in all religious traditions. Mm-hmm. There's one path that leads toward the perfection of the human being. Mm-hmm. And it's not an easy path. So while you say, yes, it could sound starry-eyed, we know that it's not, because the path is hard. Living on the path is extremely demanding in every way. And so it requires, well, it requires, after awakening, there comes the period of purification, mm-hmm. self-purification, where you realize that you now realize what the higher self can be in potential, mm-hmm. and then you see the blockages in your own personality that prevent that from happening. Yeah. And so in one way or another on this path, we go through the process of purification, of what's called the dross of the personality, so that the soul can shine through more and more. The soul is now awake, but it's being blocked from expression or from full expression because of old personality patterns. Mm-hmm. So those patterns have to be broken. They have to be purified in some way. And as this happens, and that's not easy,
no.
It takes time, it occurs over, well, probably lifetimes, but at least this lifetime. As that happens, the light of the soul shines through more and more, and it leads the person to inner contact with the inner realms, and that person becomes a light bearer for the world. Still working on the self, still renouncing things that no longer belong in the life of, are no longer appropriate in the life, in a spiritual life. So it's a long process, but there is a path. And as I said, it's the same. There's only one path, the path that leads to perfection. And we have many examples, and the ones most cited are the Buddha and the Christ. They are the ultimate stories, let's say, of self-perfection, within the human race. And so we know what those qualities are like. And we know that they are not arrived at easily. But the good news, as you say, is that many people are awakening and beginning to even show interest in these things. And so there's a hunger for truth now and a hunger for purity because of all that's happened in our world that's been the opposite. And so there are so many forces feeding into this collective arising from a difficult human journey, let's say, until this point, and a seeking for something greater.
Mm-hmm. Beautifully said. Well, thank you so much for sharing your insights and your understanding and experience. It's been a soul awakening experience just listening to you share. I really appreciate you being here today. Thank you.
And thank you, Sarah. It was really a pleasure.